Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a video and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Today, I'm privileged to welcome a good friend and entrepreneur from the healthcare world from Bangkok, Thailand, Vivek Dhawan. Vivek, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Vivek is the CEO of Mega Life Sciences in Thailand. His organization is the largest soft gel capsule manufacturer in Southeast Asia, in addition to a whole lot of other wellness products. So Vivek, what would you say are three key milestones in your life or your career?
Yeah, I think my life, number one, I got married very early in 1984, as soon as I finished engineering. So my wife kind of sobered me to become and do a lot of things, become more sensible. Mm-hmm. That was one.
Yeah.
And number two, I came back to Thailand in 86 after my MBA. I didn't stay in the US. I had no vision to do that. But my father was here. Mm-hmm. So as soon as I got here, he left. He planned to leave his job with what he was doing. He was a very senior president in the company there, and he wanted to start on his own. So I got a chance when he joined up with another entrepreneur wanted to get industry. There was a small plant for Medicap, 10 mm-hmm. people hardly doing much. So as an engineer MBA, I was sent there with an old car to go and see what I can do. Mm-hmm. I think that was another big milestone in my life where my journey began in that area. And mm-hmm. because there was not too much around, it was like the world was open for you to try in 86. That's 1986 right. In time. That was one. And then I think around 93, my father and the entrepreneur that he had joined had a breakup. They separated, but I had to make this choice in my life whether I go with my eldest son, go with my dad and do things and build more industry with him. Mm. So I made that choice to stay on. I said, you go, I'm going to do this and carry on and see what else I can do here. And whenever you go and you build your industry with my, and I stayed on and from there that Medicap that I was looking at, I could dream and do a lot of other stuff. Mm. And today what it is, Mega Week here, you see, I mean, that's a long journey. I'm not saying all these three things happen, but staying there and then doing the same thing over and over again for the last 35 years probably had something to do with it.
I'm sure it did. So Vivek, now let's talk about Mega Life Care or Mega V Care. Tell me about this venture. What is the range of things that you do in this company?
Well, originally it was a simple idea to make soft gelatin capsules that were probably coming from Europe, USA, large corporations were bringing it into Thailand. And it was a technology run in the hands of the Germans and Aussies and some of the large corporations. So we decided to put up a plant here. They did that, put two mm-hmm. machines with some Indian technology. So the first approach was to make capsules to replace local production, but they were not very good. The quality wasn't good. So I came in and luckily I had this No baggage with me. I didn't come from the industry. So I could do a few things and make changes and say, let's not use A, let's make good capsule first. And then we'll see whether we make money or not, because without that, nobody will buy products.
Correct.
So we became a good capsule producer. Mm. And in order to survive in Thailand was a very small market. And that was fortunate. We had to go out. Mm. And when you had to go out, you had to compete with the best in the world, and then the Europeans and raise our bar. And we became, very quickly, TG approved long before, I mean, Australian approved, meaning we had GMP approval from the world's top countries. Hmm. And that was 92, 93. I think that put us on a journey of good quality and development of new products. And not only an OEM manufacturer, but somebody who developed products for other people. So we had to come up with ideas. And that's the first step of our journey. And from there, there was a choice. Should we stay in and become a bigger manufacturer, add more machines and become 20, 40, 60 machine business and supply the world? Mm. So that's when we had to make another on the crossroad, make a choice. No. This is not what I want to do. I don't want to be dependent on people and being a contract manufacturing, walking with a bag, offering cheaper prices. I want to get into my own brand. Mm. So then we started this journey that I said, hey, let's start slowly. And over the next 5, 10, 15 years, we'll probably do only our own brands and not do products for anybody else. We'll get out. So and it took us, that journey began in 92, 93. We started our own brand. We took over one of our own customers who was not paying us on time. Mm. And we took that brand over and put people behind very early. So with the exposure we had supplying in the UK, Australia, we also knew what's happening in the world, in the developed world. So we brought some of that knowledge here, build our own brands. And then fortunately, Indochina was still just starting off, you know, Myanmar, Vietnam, and nobody used to go there because Thailand was so huge. Every company said, forget Myanmar, they're so small. Vietnam is so small. So for us, we were anyway very small and they looked very big for us. So we went there, we walked in there, opened it, put a chair there, put a person there and started our journey into Vietnam, Myanmar, Indochina. And that took off over the last 20, 25 years. So the branded business became bigger. Before we used to keep a separate name, Medicap and Mega. And now we are called only Mega. We gave up the name Medicap because we don't do any OEM. So today we are Mega. We care a branded company selling medicines. Medicines meaning we sell medicines for pure drugs, we call them prescription medicine for disease management, all kinds of drugs that we produce, some locally and some a large part we import, partner with companies. The other large part of our business, 60-70% is what we call consumer healthcare. And the consumer healthcare makes up of over-the-counter drugs, self-medication, specialized, fast-acting, all these kinds of products that, you know, Bofen, one of the largest brands we have in the region for pain management, etc. And then we have a whole range of supplements, condition-specific supplements for diabetic. We call them supplement, complementary and supplement because they actually supplement what your body cannot make or complement things you need with your diet or with your disease. So we have a whole range of supplements and then herbal medicine and all these things. And this is what we did over the last 15, 20 years, went and built a brand and over time learned that, hey, we don't have deep pockets. We are not smart enough. We can't be in the developed world. So we selected to go to the developing countries where people were not, I mean, they were not so eager to go. Yeah, and they were going, but in smaller companies, they were not their big focus area. So we put focus in those areas and build a business in Vietnam, Myanmar, Cambodia, and then other neighboring countries, Malaysia, Indonesia. Now we are in about 33 developing countries.
Wow.
And our business is largely branded. A branded business, Mega We Care under Mega Life Sciences, makes up 48-50% of our turnover. And while we were doing that in the early days, we also saw that in order to get our product to the market, there were only two ways. You throw it in the market, give it to wholesalers. And in Asia, I mean, there was always a very well-known network, large companies who came from Switzerland and opened a distribution setup where they represented companies and provided a distribution service, storage, delivery, collection of money. So as I said, I'm not very smart. I just said, let's copy them and do the same damn thing in Burma and Vietnam because they are not doing a lot of work there. For them, it's very new as well. So why not just go there and do the same thing? So we offered ourselves and say, bring them here, Johnson & Johnson, a lot of other companies say, come to Vietnam, we'll handle everything for you. So we became a distributor, a service provider to MNC and other branded companies. And we build an infrastructure of storage, delivery, build knowledge. And actually, it's connected because what we sell our brand, we also needed to be available in shops and pharmacies. So it was doing wonders for our brand also while we expanded the network and we provided service to other people. So it was hand in hand and we did that as well. So now we have two businesses called Mega We Care and the other one is called Max Care. That's the distribution part. So under Mega Life Sciences, two businesses, but Max Care only remains in Indochina, Vietnam, Myanmar, and Cambodia. So that's what we do largely now for a living. 33 countries, 6,000 over people, and two businesses turning around somewhere in the range of $400-500 million in that range in the last.
Wonderful. So Vivek, you know, you just spoke about making supplements. Tell me, as someone who's done supplements for a long time, why is it necessary to add supplements to our diet?
I think there are, for us, for me personally, and I've done this for such a long time, I thought supplements are the magic pill, but there's no magic in supplements. Let me be honest with you. Supplements are, that's the word supplement. The word means supplement your, what you don't get out of your diet or your body is not capable now of able to produce. And people who are vegetarian don't get B12 in their diet. They're deficient. If you don't eat a lot of leafy vegetables, etc., you don't have enough magnesium in your diet. So I think the idea is that if you don't eat the right diet or your body does not create it, and or now because we are not sitting in the sun, we are scared to get dark now. people don't get enough vitamin D. So we find a huge deficiency of vitamin D in the world, and you will be seeing during COVID time, all this data came out that a lot of people are deficient in vitamin D, and the possibility of reduced immunity and a lot of other diseases are very well linked to the linked to the fact that you are deficient in vitamin D. So I think we are supplementing for deficiency. There are a lot of clinical evidence on iron supplementation in women, and especially in cases of spina bifida and with neural bud defects. And these are scientifically proven, folic acid, etc. So our business model wants to take the drug model, you know, to build things that are clinically known to help people. So we have a liver product, we have a diabetic supplementing along. If you are diabetic, you have neuropathy, you have got numbness, your nerves get affected. So there are products that will improve the circulation of blood circulation and improve nerve. So we make products that actually work in those areas. High strength B, high strength C. So all our products are very much pharmaceutical. We register them as drugs in most countries. So that's one part. Then we have the other part we call herbal medicine. Before you go to drugs, there are a lot of herbal medicine which are clinically proven to act to help you sleep. I mean, you can take a real chemical drug and get knocked out, but you can also be taking valerian to help you to go to sleep. So I think the path we have taken is to select very, very clinically proven drugs as the first line therapy and go into herbal medicine. So herbal medicine, probiotics, vitamins that actually are needed for you, they're complementary and supplementary to your diet. And that's where we are not selling magic. We don't sell weight loss pills. We don't sell weight loss packages. We sell scientifically proven, clinically well-documented products, a D1000, a C1000, a B-complex, a liver product, etc., etc. So that's been an EPA, DHA, because if you don't eat enough fish, you don't eat enough flaxseed, you don't get an omega-3 in your body. And there is some science to show that it helps you to maintain good health. So, but if you're eating a good diet and exercising regularly and your body is in good shape, you probably don't need a lot of them. You need some because you don't get it out of the sun, and some of them you require to take them. So let's be honest.
Moving on, you know, when you were scaling up from a Thai company to 33 countries, what were some of your challenges?
I think any time when you're building a business that's local, we have to start in Thailand first, right? And you have to become good at what you are. If you don't have good quality at home, you can go and tell the world that, hey, I'm here. So we were not in a hurry. I think the biggest thing about what we did was we had time. And today people say there's not enough time. The world moves very quickly. But I started in 86. We had 10 people. First, we had to make good capsules. Then we had to make people believe we make good capsules and make a lot of products and create dossiers, documentation before we can move out. So I think building credibility for yourself to believe that you make good products takes time. And once you do that, then you go out to other markets and you're able to show that my products are very credible. I think one is first patience. Patience is a very important part of building brands, and it takes time. And then building it with correct, the second most important ingredient is good people. I mean, people believing in the philosophy and the culture that you create. So for me, very important part of my business model was to have people along with me who also has similar beliefs, who believe in this value system of making a good product, selling it at the right price, doing the right thing. Because we worked in so many countries and we didn't work with the government. We had no other partners. We went and did it ourselves. So we had a lot of trust in our people. And in this process, we built good teams, and it took us time to do that. And this then created a brand today, which you see everywhere. You walk into Myanmar, you walk into Vietnam, you walk into Cambodia, you can see Mega We Care across, whether it's the pharmacists, doctors. They have good credibility. We have good credibility. They feel good about the company, and we have built a relationship that they actually believe that we are honest about what we are doing. I think that's where the brand value is very important, that it takes time.
Oh, I have to keep moving. We're going to be running out of time. Tell me, you know, you did try to enter India. What were some of your challenges here?
We failed in India. We failed in India. We went to India too early. We went to India imagining that what we could do in Thailand, we could also do in India with Glow and all these skincare products. In India is probably starting off. Maybe if we went a little later and went to Bombay, the time would have been right. We started a bit early. We went with products that we didn't understand. We came in because we have to import and pay high duties. And we didn't stay long enough. And I think going to India needs deep pockets, and you have to start very sensibly and stay there for a long, long time. And we realize that this is not for us. And I think it's great learning. India was one, Russia was another one for us. And we went out. And I think we did the right thing. We have an office in India. We use it for back office, but we operate in countries where we have a little bit longer time to build brands.
Very interesting.
So yes, India was a failure for us, hands up. Nothing. But a lot of learning, well learned and understood that we need to do that right.
I'm sure. And, you know, now as you look back at, you know, you built this business from just 10 people, as you say, what are some of the core values you believe in?
I think number one for me is people. I'm a very big people believer. I played sports all my life, and if you see in our company, I also still write in my name, chief coach. So people ask me, why do you call yourself a chief coach? I'm playing as a team. I'm not playing every day. I have to get members to play along with me. So my real job is to get good players who are very good at different areas and let them work together, bring things together and make it happen. So as a coach, we are coaches, people matter, teams matter. I can have great ideas, I can be visionary, but if the people don't make it happen, it'll never get there. So it's a combination of both. I'm lucky sitting and talking to you, but I didn't do it myself. I can promise you, I have very good team, people who have been working with me for 30 years, five of them who are on my board, shareholders who made it all happen. So teams and people, very important. Trusting people, I think that's also very important. I don't have this 90% trust. I have 100% trust. There are 6% cheats. And I did read a book long time ago in my life called First Break All the Rules. And Gallup did this work long ago. And focus on strengths and forget weaknesses. And that's what I thought. Everybody has got something good in them. If we can find them, help them to put it to use, we can do wonderful things. Why bother trying to correct what is wrong? You know? Nothing can happen. I'm not a perfect person, but I can do what I'm good at and leave the rest to other people. So strengths, waste management, getting teams to work and play together, trusting people, not. And if there are 6% cheats, so what? They're going to remain anyway. So why let the other 96% feel that you're shit? And let them also feel good about it. For me, that's very important. People are important. And that's what I do. That's what I think matters a lot for us. Building a thinking company, learning. So we provide a lot of learning. We want the best in the world to come and talk to us. And then you bring the right changes. Growth will happen if we think correct, make the right changes. And growth is an outcome of doing that. So this has been it's written in our value system, thinking, changing, building a thinking organization that will change before it's forced to. And will live and grow beyond us. Trusting people, speaking the truth, giving them freedom and respecting them. This is what the values will include.
Very interesting. So my next question to you is, you know, on millennials and the Gen Zs. The world is now moving into the hands of the millennials and the Gen Zs are quickly following. What has been your experience with regard to your products and millennials and Gen Zs?
I think number one, let me be honest, you know, our product is largely 35 plus. We are not doing a lot of work in the young generation, quick product, quick fix, hangover drinks. We are not doing, we try all that. So I think, as the Gen X gets older as well, they have the same problem, joints hurt, knees hurt, you know. You can't do all the same thing. Though they are more conscious, vegan, exercising, healthier, fitter than before. So our real target is not only targeting the young people and providing them some quick drinks and products. We are not doing that. But we have a strong play there. I have three sons who are all young, 28, 30, 35. I live with them all the time and see their behavior. So yes, they are different from the way we are. Their value systems are a lot purpose-based, which is fantastic. And I think Mega also, we also are a purpose-driven company. And I've written our dharma. Mega is a dharma to do. We care for your wellness and helping people to stay healthy as long as they live. So we're helping them. We don't have all the answers and we become a part of their journey. So I think the millennials are looking for help, not looking for help, but looking for somebody who can journey along with them. So that kind of work we are doing, we are recruiting, hiring people and putting them on board. So doing a lot of digital work and also getting into health tech, health apps, etc. So all this work we are doing and hoping that as they get a little bit older, they realize that we can be a part of their journey in helping them. That's what we are doing. You ask me, do we understand the Gen Z and millennials very well? No, we don't. What are we trying to do then? Yes, we have to recruit the new generation to come and take over from us. Sure. And we are trying to build that as we go along. We can't just have older people here in the company. So we have young generation coming up and taking over. So it's a little bit different. But the good thing is Mega's values is still about freedom. So we allow them space. You see this area here is completely like a WeWork office. So people come, work, coffee shop, sit down. And for a long time, we never had this punch card system. What time did you come? So I've never used that anyway. So you come because you want to, wherever. No, I mean, the guard has to come to work. He cannot come for duty. That doesn't work that way. But other people, we don't have these very strict rules, you know. The biggest rule is, have you got the job done? You know, is the customer happy? So we don't monitor them on a day-to-day basis. We have very few restrictions in the company. So I think in ways of thinking, we are already there. But how do we work along with them and how do we make them a part of this future is something we also need to learn.
So I'm now going to move to the last segment of our conversation, which is some questions for you personally. I think I have time for two, maybe three questions. Tell me, what does success mean to Vivek as you look back at life?
Ah, very tough one. I mean, I never thought about success, to be honest, Ashutosh. For me, doing what I was doing and having fun every day was success, man. Every morning when you woke up, you wanted to go and do work and you wanted to do wonderful things. And there was so much to do, man, every day. No. I can't tell you. So it was fun. The whole journey was fun. I didn't measure it by how many cars I had. Did I buy a house? I bought my house about 10 years ago, 10, 15 years. But I was having such a great time. And at the same time, the people I worked with, we were enjoying every moment of doing what we're doing, you know, building something together, which more people joining in and more fun. And we were growing. And I think the fun of doing it is far more than the outcome of it. Yes. Outcome, yeah, now we reached it. I've got shares. I'm richer man than ever was. I don't drive a Toyota. I drive a better car now. All these things have happened. This is end outcome. I have a house now. I own. I have a car. I have money in the bank. But if that's what you call success, I'm successful. But okay. I think more than that, the success was the fun of doing it. That's what for me meant. And being able to freely think. You know, now I'm free to think and do things. You know, and the success is all about being having the courage to fail, to try, and do new things, which we continue to do even today.
Very interesting. So I've got time for two more questions for you, and I'm trying to debate which ones to ask you. But the one I'm going to ask you one is about failure. You know, you are a person of Indian origin, and I've often said people in South Asia don't teach children it's okay to fail. It's always come first, etc., etc. Yet we fail. My question to you, Vivek, is what have been some of your learnings from some of your mistakes?
Good luck for me. I failed very early in my life, and I read a book that said long ago, if you don't teach your kids, give them fish, like give them fail, let them learn how to fish. And I failed first. I have a story in my own house. One of us didn't fail, one failed. I failed, I learned. Because I failed, I was more humble. So when I started a joint venture here, that business failed completely. But I had to make it survive, so I had to find ways to make sure that we had cash flow, you know. So we used to sell things on 90-day credit, buy things on 180-day credit, so my cash flow was good and I could pay salaries for a long time and survive. I think failure teaches you a lot, and I've never been worried about failure. I tell everybody every day, fail, man. But the good thing is, I learned very quickly that I don't want to fail other businesses, the things I don't know. If I go and invest in something I don't know, I have to depend on you and I lose a lot of money and say, shit. But if I fail in the business I do every day, that's called learning. So we started to do things that we fail. We try things within our business. We open a country, we launch a product, and we fail and we quickly learn and correct. So the failures are small, failures are quick, and they teach you and you go on because I'm doing it in the same space. So in that space, I'm doing a lot of things up ahead, behind, on the right side. And we are trying new countries, trying new categories, trying new products, doing new things, health tech. And we continuously keep doing that. And that's very good for us because we are learning all the time, correcting and learning all the time. So try, test, build, correct, try, test, build, correct. And I think if you don't do that, how do you learn? You can't only learn from other people's books. Yeah, we read a lot of books. I read a lot of books every day. And I work with a lot of great people who have come and taught us as well, you know, and brought them here, the speakers of the world, NorthStorm, Southwest Airline. They are my inspiration of my life, how they run companies, you know, honestly. But I mean, that's the way life is. If you don't fail, you don't learn. And fortunately, I've not been worried. I failed in college. I managed to pass, get out somehow. My father failed. He was a very successful man, but he went out and tried to become an entrepreneur. But maybe it was not for him. He was a great engineer, but he was not probably a great businessman. Nothing wrong with it. So what? He failed, but he tried. He tried like hell. He did so many wonderful things in his life. I don't think it's a failure. At least he tried all his life doing something great.
Hmm.
I think failure should not bother us. You know, we shouldn't be let down by failure. Oh man, I fail, I can't do anything up. So we fail all the time. Okay. And the good thing is we try 10, we fail 4, we win 6, we are still successful.
Okay.
So we are continuously trying to do new things and staying afloat, making more money. We allocate 10% of our earnings and then 20% into new projects and fail them.
Mm.
And 80% is what we earn every year. So this is what we do. Don't bet. It's like the black swan. You know, I like Nadeem when he says that 80% of the money put in the pool so you don't lose, but 20% bet to take risk. But if you lose it, you're still alive.
Right.
We constantly do that all the time. Risk is also well managed. Right? We have risk, but we manage that very well.
Correct. Well said. So we now run out of time. So I just want to thank you. It's been a wonderful conversation. I loved your comment on your dharma, which is we care for your wellness. And I loved your point about, you know, we don't believe in 90% trust, but 100% trust. I think that's such a powerful statement. And all your colleagues probably love you for this. Thank you again for spending the time with me and for sharing your experiences.
Thank you, Ashutosh. Thank you for having me. Lovely as always talking to you. Thank you once again.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.